Good news straight from the adorable mouth of Punxsutawney Phil, seer of seers, sage of sages, prognosticator of prognosticators, and weather prophet extraordinary. Today we here at Yes Have Some Podcast would like to wish all of our listeners a warm and gentle early spring. Much like the folks who gather at Gobbler's Knob once a year on February 2nd to freeze their butts off and make merry, Craig, Jacob, and myself love to savor a good tradition. Little known fact about podcasters, we live for tradition and repetition. The simple act of sitting down once a week and pressing the record button and proceeding to just go off with my two best friends brings me so much joy and satisfaction. I, for one, would be content with repeating podcast day over and over again into eternity, whether the little guy sees his shadow or not. Thank you to all who are listening and watching this podcast right now. You are part of this diverse little ecosystem and you matter to us. Okay, campers, rise and shine and get comfortable because it's podcast time.
Yes, have some.
Very well said.
I like that.
Yeah, very good. But it raises a question for me.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I have one too.
Okay.
What is a groundhog?
Oh, that was not the question.
Was that made up for this holiday? Are groundhogs real?
Oh, groundhogs are like tuned into nature, apparently. So yeah, they're little prognosticators.
Is this witchcraft?
Yeah. Who invented this?
It feels pagan, which is why I like it. There's dancing, there's staying up late, there's reveling. Hey. There's believing that a little animal is like going to determine the weather for the next 3 months.
Listen.
Does anybody think this is do people believe it?
No.
Somebody believes it. Tradition is fun.
Yeah.
I think that was your whole thing. Tradition's fun. Mm-hmm. My question was, we make merry. I don't know what that means, but it's like the most fun. I can't wait to make merry tonight with you guys. This is going to be awesome.
I was thinking of the movie when Bill Murray's looking at everyone making merry and dancing.
Yeah,
it's great. Well, thank you for that. Happy Groundhog Day, everybody. Welcome to the 8th year anniversary of Yes Have Some Podcast. I didn't know this, and I think this is going to kind of be a through line of tonight's episode. Today in Chicago, they celebrated the first inaugural Harold Ramis Day. They had a big gathering, and I don't know if you guys saw this. They announced at Harry Carey's restaurant, Navy Pier in Chicago, they were going to have a couple guests, some of the celebrities, some of the stars of Groundhog Day, including Brian Doyle Murray and a few, a few other people, the drummer from the band. So it was, the guest list was...
From Groundhog Day?
From Groundhog Day. Okay. There's like that band that's playing or whatever. But Bill Murray showed up.
It's like polka.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Bill Murray showed up. He made a speech. They did
I
all
have
these.
Not seen the speech.
I posted it. It's on the YHS Instagram. I caught a couple minutes of it. Everybody, they brought up Harold Ramis's wife. And let me set this up for you guys. This is like little impromptu, was not part of the rundown.
No, it wasn't.
But it just happened before it started, so it's okay. Harold Ramis's wife spoke. She had some really amazing words. Barack Obama wrote a letter talking about the meaning of Harold Ramis and Groundhog Day to the city of Chicago.
Wow.
All these people spoke. And then Bill Murray gets up and goes, well, we've talked about Harold a lot, so I'm just going to talk about the weather. But he did. He had some really kind things to say about Harold. So it was really good. Go out of your way to watch it. I haven't been able to. I only saw like 30 seconds of it. So we'll be able to take that in. But it was really cool.
Okay. So the movie Groundhog Day takes place where exactly?
Abigail.
Pennsylvania.
Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yes. Wild place to live.
And so... But the festivities that you're talking about happened in
Chicago. Well, it was filmed outside of Chicago in Woodstock, Illinois.
They filmed it there, but it's in a... Okay.
Yes.
And they actually do... So every year on Groundhog's Day, they're already do... They do a like a ceremony.
At this,
like where they film the movie.
Okay. I think there's a couple things. This is really important. in Woodstock, Illinois, I think because it was filmed there, they do something.
I think they hold a tradition. I think that the inn that Bill Murray stays at is located in that square. Sure.
It's like a bed and breakfast. But Abby, is it not true? I think all the stuff in Groundhog Day, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, all that's there's a real that all actually happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A gobbler's knob.
I have one more question about this, and then I promise we can move on.
No, we don't have. This is Harold Ramis Day. This is what this is all about. I don't remember him making anything else but Groundhog Day.
If they do a yearly thing where they film the movie, which happens to be close to wherever they're doing Harold Ramis Day,
yes.
Why have we never gone to that?
Well,
should we say right now that next year we're going to get a room in that inn and we should go? We should make it a YHS trip and let's go spend Groundhog's Day and go to these festivities.
I like all of this. We have to. This was the first ever Harold Ramis Day today.
Sure.
But whatever,
they were already doing.
They were doing something in Woodstock. Okay. We figured it out. So we'll go next year.
Mm-hmm.
Abigail. Let's do it.
Yeah, no, I wanted to go, for those of you who know, Craig and I, we got married on Groundhog Day 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking at that inn in Chicago as like a place to stop and stay. So I'd like to go to it eventually.
Yeah, that would be great. Hey, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary.
Let's see if we make it through.
See how this goes.
Well, listen, lots of anniversaries to celebrate. It's not only Harold Ramis Day, not only Groundhog Day, not only the 8th anniversary of Yes Have Some Podcast, not only mine and Abby's wedding anniversary, but it's also our first episode since our last episode. And that feels like a big deal to me. So we've had a lot going on here. We had trailers this week. We broke down the international trailer for Frozen Empire. We broke down the domestic trailer for Frozen Empire. There's Ghostbusters fever. Dare I say, it kind of feels good to just take a breather. I love talking about Ghostbusters every second of the day, but I looked at the lineup for tonight. It feels like, okay, let's get our minds on a few other things. Just give ourselves a little break. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm tired of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Cut that part out. I don't want... please, Gil, don't. I was kidding.
We are not tired of Ghostbusters at all.
Never.
Dear Garaka, we're very sorry for saying that.
Dear baby Garaka, with your tiny little horns.
Oh, they should
make ice breath.
They should make baby Garaka.
The birth of baby Garaka.
Oh, manger scene, baby Garaka.
There's a manger scene
with the Virgin Janine.
Very handy. Holy Spirit.
There you go. So that was really cool. Hey, we appreciate you guys being here. This is not going to be a bum out of an episode, but we should. There's a lot happening today. Unfortunately, Carl Weathers passed away today, which, listen, he was 76 years old. We know Carl Weathers obviously from all the Rocky movies, Grief Karga and The Mandalorian,
Arrested Development,
Happy Gilmore, Predator. He's kind of been there our whole life. But I think the thing that makes it a little bit like it's even harder is like, you know, we've seen him at conventions. Abby and I got a photo with him at Celebration a couple years ago. I just wanted to acknowledge that because it's sad and
it's a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Jacob, it's always hard when somebody who's like a pop culture icon, who somebody I don't want to speak for anyone. I genuinely think Carl Weathers is great.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of the picture of Abraham Lincoln, the crocodile, and Carl Weathers from Happy Gilmore floating around today. Any thoughts? Anything you do?
Yeah, I mean, just what you said. Like, you know, he was kind of a surprising part of the Mandalorian and kind of became a really fun character in that show. You know, he kind of starts off almost kind of like a villain, or you don't know if he's a good guy or he's sketchy, and he becomes like a kind of a wholesome part of that show. And I was never thinking like, cool, Mandalorian, we're getting new Star Wars. Oh, Carl Weathers is going to be one of the best characters here, you know? So, you know, that's really cool. And, you know, John Yerkeba said it earlier in our chat. It's always more difficult when the person who passes away seems to be in like perfectly fine health and they're out there doing things. And it's like, it's just so sudden, you know? So
yeah,
it sucks, man. I'm going to maybe, I haven't watched the original Predator in a very long time.
Yeah.
And I maybe going to put, maybe that's what I'll watch tonight.
I like that. Yeah, I agree with you, Jacob, because like our last memories of him were, he was so alive and he was directing like episodes of The Mandalorian, correct?
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Being really active and involved. And yeah, I recall meeting him at Celebration in Anaheim, and he was just like a huge warm life force and a really cool dude. And like part of things that go way back for me, loving Arrested Development and like his getting the stew going, et cetera, was always something that I thought was hilarious. And then seeing him in the Rocky movies as I got into those, he's nothing but positivity and like good American spirit. And he'll be missed for sure. Yeah.
There was this is not my tweet, but this made me laugh. Somebody who was on the crew of The Mandalorian tweeted this today. I just wanted to read it. It's @monkey_pants. He says, I was in the food line on Mando season 1, and on the dessert table, they had ice cream, but nearby they also had some cookies. I decided to freestyle a bit and put a scoop between some cookies. Just as I made my creation, a booming, joyful voice called out behind me. Carl Weathers, obviously. This guy turned around, the first drips already on his hands. It was Apollo Creed himself. And Carl Weathers goes, ice cream sandwich. And then he winked at him and walked away. And I just was like, you know what? I normally don't tell other people's stories, but yeah. I can visualize that right. So well. When Abby and I met him at the Star Wars Celebration, he didn't say a word because we're the photo line. So it's just like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
I felt the connection. So rest in peace, Carl Weathers. You know, we've been podcasting a long time. Unfortunately, we're going to lose people along the way and hopefully do some proper tributes. So, okay. I wanted to get into Groundhog Day a little bit more just in general, talking about the movie and talking about Bill Murray since I wanted to talk about that before we even knew he was going to make this appearance in Chicago. I don't have my rundown in front of me because it is in my phone notes. So were there any other topics we needed to hit before we get to Bill Murray?
Yeah. Okay. I think there's one that I think I'm going to bring up whether you guys want me to bring it up or not.
Hey.
What'd you guys do last night?
Yes, have some.
Okay. So, well, last night, Abby and I were going to celebrate our wedding anniversary. We normally don't do we don't normally commemorate it with a date night or anything like that. But Abby had this idea a couple weeks ago. She saw that Casino, the movie Casino, directed by Martin Scorsese, was being shown at the Plaza Theater. And Abby, you're a big fan of the Plaza Theater.
Yeah, I am. I follow their posts and I saw that they were playing Casino on February 1st. And that I was like, oh, that's right before our anniversary. And the post was like telling fans of the movie and fans of the theater to come and dress up to the nines and have an extravagant casino night, watching Martin Scorsese's movie and participating in like giveaways and trivia.
It said giveaways and surprises. So of course in my head, I'm like, Joe Pesci's going to be there. I know it.
Q&A.
Right.
Well, sometimes that does happen at the Plaza.
It does.
Who was it? Francis Ford Coppola showed up at a screening of Dracula last year. So
that's
there's like,
insane. Yeah, that's like a insane thing.
That's an insane thing to see. Oh, the greatest director of all time just showed up after the,
in Atlanta
at the Dracula screening. We prepared outfits. Cause I was like, you know, we've done like, we're going to lean into this. Right.
Okay.
So Abby, what did you put together?
I already had a 70s vintage looking like shift dress that I'd taken pictures in before. And I got that at an antique mall. So I figured, you know, I'm going to look at the period, look 1970s. It's like a bright hot orange dress. And then I ordered a faux fur coat, which was really fun for me. And then I ordered a big costume diamond necklace choker. And yeah, so I got all that on, got it together, put on my high heels.
And not to put Abby on the spot, but like, I think being vulnerable and connected to the audience is really important right now. Abby had already prepared to take off the high heels and put on comfortable socks and shoes. You had a bag set for the movie as well. Like, you were ready to roll.
Yeah, I packed tall socks in my bag.
Tall socks. Okay.
Because I was planning the night out. Yeah. Right. Which yeah. Obviously planning, nothing actually goes the way you plan things.
That's true.
Nothing happened the way we planned it. And although I was trying to make sure that I had it all lined up.
So
it's going to be good.
I don't have any vintage clothes. I barely have clothes. Like, I barely have anything. So I went to my favorite vintage clothing warehouse called Amazon.com. And I could probably, well, it's in the other room. I'm going to probably bring it back for the Jeffries. I bought a pale yellow, like silky paisley button-up shirt. And I bought velvet? Like a velvet.
That dress shirt was gold. Like it looks like you're in somebody's bachelor party.
Yeah. not like, it looks like I'm maybe dancing at somebody's bachelor party. And I wore black slacks and I wore this like velvet green blazer. And when I put the whole ensemble together, it became very evident that I looked like Job from Arrested Development. Like, I looked like a magician.
You had an air of mystery about you.
Yeah. I looked like I might try to disappear the moon. So Jake, we had told you about this. Were we not excited about this?
Yeah, I feel like it was a while back, Abby, you said something to me about it, and I, you know.
Yeah, it was a while back that I saw the post and committed in my mind what was going to happen. I was like, this is going to be a huge costume event, so let's get prepared and kind of treat it like Dragon Con.
Right. In Dragon Con, it was not. We were hungry. We got out the house. We didn't know what the food and drink situation is going to be. And it, like, the Plaza Theater doesn't have, like, they've got, like, popcorn and stuff. But there's no food. And Abby ordered some slices of pizza
on the way
from Fellini's Pizza, which is right by. So we were all.
You had a night planned, like a good night. Yeah.
We had a
night.
Bag packed with socks.
We had a bag of socks with us. So we get to Fellini's and we're going to get out. This was the first hint of what's going on here. Abby goes, why don't you just go in? So, because she's got. So I said, okay. I go in,
so this was a moment of parking the car.
Yes.
Realizing what you were wearing and that you were about to walk in the public.
And you volunteered, by the way. You said I'll go in and get it.
You stay here, you listen to the radio, some good songs on.
Pretend it's 1977.
Pretend it's the 70s. I go in, I'm standing there, and listen, I've got some anxieties. I'm like anybody else. Whether or not this was actually happening, jury's out there, but it was busy in there. And I felt like everybody was looking at me. So I felt a little like with a little spotlight on me. And I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I've got this nice velvet. The clothes were comfortable. I wasn't uncomfortable, but I was uncomfortable. So get back in the car. And I'm like, Abby's like, oh, thanks for the pizza. I'm like, yeah. I just feel like people are looking at me. She's like, oh, what? Shut up. Everything's fine. She's like, we're about to be at a big costume party. You're going to fit right in. So, Abby, we drive to the theater, which is like a block away. Mm-hmm. We pull in. We're looking. It's a small parking spot. We're pulling. We're looking for a parking spot. We see a line has formed for the movie that's all through the whole lobby. This is exactly what happened. I pull up. I slow down the car. I look through the window. I look at Abby, and at the same time, we basically went,
this isn't a costume party. This is not what we thought. It looks like everyone's in line for like an album release or something. Like, it's it is traditional movie going clothes.
Yes.
Nobody's in costume.
What makes it worse, the Plaza Theater is like, it's a cool theater. Like, I mean, this is the kind of place where like you might run into, you know, I don't know, somebody you know, somebody you respect. We both immediately realized nobody's in costume.
Maybe we misunderstood the assignment.
We misunderstood. Mm-hmm. at this point, it's 7:45, 15 minutes of the movie's going to start. Now, Jake, this is where I think you were surprised.
Yeah.
I kind of made the call. I was like, I can't, I'm not going in there.
I was like, we could still do it, you know. I was like, let's go home and you can change and then we can come back and I'll just keep wearing this.
All of my anxiety buttons were
fine. I would have went in.
You would have just gone in.
I bet you would have. That's
no, well, because here's the thing.
Right.
Okay, so there's 3 minutes where you might get a look where you walk from inside to your seat. Right. And you're just watching a movie with the lights off in a movie theater.
All dressed up.
Nobody fucking cares what you're dressed. Nobody is looking at you or caring. I was bummed out. I was like, so you guys didn't watch the movie? I was like, bummed for you. I was like, oh, so you just didn't watch Casino at the Plaza Theater last night?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you were dressed. The worst part is funny. Other people dressed up too when I looked at the stories.
No. Really? One couple. It was the two pictures of the same couple.
Well, they did the exact same thing you did. Yeah. You know what I mean? It would have been nice. You guys would have made good friends with them probably because you would have been like, oh, did you guys misread the thing?
So I thought
you had the first post and then they didn't say anything.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing though. I want to just say this. Abby, you looked like fantastic. I looked like I bought clothes on Amazon.com.
Well, I will say the picture that you shared with me last night, Abby, where Craig is wearing the shirt unbuttoned. You look like you just did cocaine in the bathroom.
Let me fucking take you back to DragonCon 2009.
Oh, I don't want to go to DragonCon 2009.
At the Anything But Clothes party, okay? So I'm prepping for the party. I was like, oh, this is an opportunity to wear anything but clothes. I can get crafty. I can be creative. So
have you ever heard of this party at DragonCon, Jacob?
No.
It's like ABC. People make like bikinis.
Like they wear something weird or dumb.
I made a
it's
underwear.
An opportunity to be risque and creative with what you're wearing. Like, oh, you make an outfit out of plastic bags or duct tape.
Hey, this year let's go and I'm just gonna wear proton packs on both sides.
Good luck with that. Just have the just the proton hanging down precariously.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll wear the proton pack. Dude, and a belt, and the wand will be hanging from the belt, obstructing my front. Mm-hmm. And the cyclotron will be obstructing my back.
Yeah. What happens when you click the green lever?
You don't want to know. Lugs. Make them hide.
Anyway, to fill out the rest of
happy
that
Harold
story.
Happy Harold Ramis Day. Keep going.
Harold Ramis Day. I took the assignment very seriously for the ABC party, and I had like a big box full of comic book cover like
postcards.
And I stripped them and like cut them into strips and like threaded them and then made layers of the dress as it went up and then like covered here and covered down there. And then when we got there to the big party, I put that on and looked awesome. And Craig, you got a sheet from the hotel room and did
and stapled it.
And just stapled a fucking sheet on.
What?
Honestly,
did you
we
should have
just gone in.
There's a picture somewhere. I'll overlay it on this part for the YouTube.
Well, I'm also a little disappointed that my first disappointment when you told me the story was that you didn't get to see Joe Pesci get beaten to death on a big screen.
I know.
Or Joe Bob Briggs on the big screen.
But
then my second disappointment was you guys had zero photos of you in these outfits together.
I know.
Like, I have no, you're telling me this story and I have no visual representation of what you look like.
We're going to have to put it all back
you're
on.
You're going to have to
well,
put it
all
on.
Well, we are for the Jeffries. We're going to be, we'll be those characters from that night.
Those
for the Jeffries. We show up and then we just kind of like walk out.
Yeah. Part two of us not being able to. Okay. Well, listen. Happy anniversary. It's fine. We made it through. Our plan was to come home and watch Casino, but instead we picked up Hal Clay from the airport at 12:30 in the morning.
And I got to eat pizza in my nice outfit wearing a big necklace, which was nice.
I'm going to do that tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my nicest dress on and get a pizza.
Oh, your Carrie costume.
Oh.
Hey, I forgot that we did the costumes for the Toy Anxiety on Halloween. So I was scrolling through. I saw the thumbnail the other day, and I was like, "Holy shit!"
I don't even remember what all we did.
It was crazy. Well, listen. You know what? All that to be said, that you can't always plan for everything in life. And sometimes life throws you lemons. And I said, I will not make lemonade. I'm going home. Lemonade party's over. So
don't no. say lemonade party.
Yeah.
That's something completely different.
Yeah.
We could have watched Casino.
Yeah, there was probably a lemonade party after Casino.
Wait, is that what I think it probably is?
Yeah, I think so.
I imagine.
Are you Googling lemonade party?
Yeah, I'm looking up on Urban Dictionary. All right, I didn't think we'd talk about that tonight. Okay. So listen, real quick, we have a fuck budget coming up, which is going to be fun. We haven't done one in a while. First one of 2024. I think we should do a monthly. We can call it the February fuck budget. Okay. A little alliteration.
Sure.
But I did want to get back to Groundhog Day. Weird transition coming from the casino night and the lemonade party. But I wanted to talk about, it's such an incredible movie, and it's one of those movies that over time, I think, it's become, you know, when we're born, okay, we're all born in 84, 85. There's certain movies that are just part of the lexicon and the fabric of movies, right? And people have an affinity for them, whether they are It's a Wonderful Life or Casablanca or Citizen Kane or just these movies that's like you're told your whole life these are important and great. But there's things that came out when we were, you know, alive, like Back to the Future or Ghostbusters or whatever, that become pop culture phenomenons and have stood the test of time. But then there's movies that are labeled as like, this is a great film. This will be studied in film school. And I feel like Groundhog Day is firmly in that world. So, which is wonderful because of the people involved. Like Abby, sometimes I feel like I'm partly responsible for it.
Groundhog Day?
Yeah, like it's a little bit of like, come on, Harold, Bill. Like it's a little bit.
Yeah.
You like it so much that you must have been, well, guys, we spend so much time talking about Ghostbusters, we must have had something to do with it.
Yeah, people were like, I wonder if those people in Ghostbusters made any other movies, and that's when they discovered Groundhog Day. But Abby, I mean, I wanted to kind of talk about Bill Murray and his performance in that movie. Obviously, we have a great deal of admiration and respect for him and obviously for Harold Ramis. So what, I mean, where does it sit with you in your personal movie lexicon?
Well, I think it's probably my most quoted throughout my entire life movie. I would say that I used to always do the just put that anywhere, pal, like the crashing scene from the inside the little diner. I used to say that a lot in a lot of funny moments. And I think that growing up, yeah, like to me, Ned Ryerson was like the ultimate, like the funniest, most original character I'd ever seen. And it was like, you know, how does somebody think of this? How does somebody act like that? Why is he so annoying? But also he's so persistent.
How could somebody think of this? That's really
yeah. Funny. And Andie MacDowell's like just gorgeous and glowing and really sweet and kind. And there is a kindness to her that keeps the movie pure and that motivates like Bill Murray's character to grow. And I guess that's like kind of the thoroughfare, the truth of that movie is there always is room to grow into being a better version of yourself. And that sometimes that's the hardest part, and life is what happens while you're making plans. And I guess that is sort of what we were talking about earlier tonight. And you can't always make everything happen, but what the things that we live, they shape us and they change us. And I think that the change that Bill Murray goes through in that movie is like really remarkable. And he can really play that like asshole character and then going into like realizing like Scrooge, like, okay, like this, like what life means. And yeah. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, very well said. Jacob, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Groundhog Day that I think sets it apart from other movies that are the same kind of trope or other movies, just other Bill Murray or Harold Ramis movies in general, is that like when you watch Scrooged mm-hmm. or any Christmas Carol movies, you know,
right,
the same, it's the same plot. Like Groundhog Day is kind of the same plot, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But when you watch like Scrooged, it's like all they did was show him, hey, you're gonna die if you don't stop being an asshole. And the change feels sort of surface level, in Scrooged.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if like they're showing you the movie, you're watching, he's a piece of shit. But then all of a sudden they just make a change. He's like, okay, oh, he's good now. He's a nice guy now. But when you watch Groundhog Day, I feel like Groundhog Day is so well written that you actually watch him change into a better person. Like it doesn't feel like it's a surface level thing. Like it's like, even though that movie's very funny and it's a comedy, it is a movie where Bill Murray actually like exercises his, you know, acting muscles, and you literally feel like you're watching an actual change in heart.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it makes the movie feel a little more sincere. I'm not trying to like talk shit about Scrooged or any of that.
No, but movies, I agree with you.
But it feels more like a sincere film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Transformation. And I think that the cast of Groundhog Day and obviously Harold Ramis's involvement made that movie more so impactful than Scrooge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Bill Murray goes out of his way always to credit the original, you know, because the original screenplay was done by a guy named Danny Rubin, and then Harold came in and made changes. And I honestly, that was the, you know, we don't have to get into all of that, but the crux of the origins of the issues between Bill and Harold had to do with Bill being really angry and really aggressively against some of the changes Harold was trying to make, which clearly like turned, you know, it was for the better because the movie is really, really special. And over time you see film theorists studying it. You see, there's like a great deal, like there's a spiritual aspect to it. I know that like Harold Ramis was what he called himself, like Jewish by blood, but Buddhist by you know, practice. And like there's definitely like
Buddhist.
There's those some of the principles of those kind of like philosophical, like religious things, for lack of a better term. What's a better word than things? Principles, which I already said. So we'll call them philosophical religious principles interwoven into what is a really great performance from Bill Murray and Andy McDowell. And the whole point of bringing this up was I kind of wanted to just roundtable it. Where does Bill Murray's performance in Groundhog Day rank to you? And like, is it, I feel like it's got to be on the Bill Murray Mount Rushmore. It's at least top four.
I think so.
It's different for everybody though.
As a younger person, you know, when I was a kid, I feel like Groundhog Day is one of the movies I didn't care about as much because there's no ghosts in it. There's no monsters. I was just like, well, this isn't that funny. But it's like when you get older and you can understand things a little better. I would put Groundhog Day as, I don't know, number two or three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Phil Connors is up on the Mount Rushmore next to Bob Wiley and Peter Venkman. Yeah.
Yep.
For me. Yeah.
Yeah. That's those would be my three, I think. You know, if you're taking out, I would condense Ghostbusters into one thing. All four Ghostbusters movies into one role, you know. But yeah, like what else is up there? It's this What About Bob and
yeah.
You know, and I mean there's other great stuff, but those three are standouts.
Like clearly he's got amazing performances in various Wes Anderson movies and Lost in Translation and that kind of stuff. But when I think about like just straight comedic performances from Bill Murray, Phil Connors, Peter Venkman, obviously Bob Wiley, and then it's like, listen, we all like Caddyshack, but let's, you know, it can't be, it's not the Mount Rushmore, right? I think Bill Murray is funny in Caddyshack, obviously.
Yeah. There's too much golf in it.
There is a lot of golf in Caddyshack. Why'd they do that?
Hey, go ahead, Abby.
I was just going to say, we were watching a video last night, Jacob, where there were golfers in a golf cart running away from a crocodile or an alligator.
It was funny.
And I was like, this Jake's in. This is going to be.
Oh, I like golf now.
Yeah, it was funny to see the golfers like backing away slowly in reverse.
Yeah.
Hey, I had a thought today, and I almost don't want to bring it up because I don't want to get into all the I don't want to, you know, have this huge conversation about the Harold Ramis and Bill Murray like rift that they had. Yeah. But I saw somebody, you know, one of the very, you know, one of the posters in Ghostbusters franchises worldwide today.
Which is, by the way, our sponsor this week.
But their post was specifically saying, like, they were pointing out something that they didn't like about Afterlife.
Okay.
And they were like, well, I just cannot get over Ray not believing Egon. He's like, they were best friends. It's so unbelievable to me that they wouldn't be friends in this movie. And the only comment on the post was from a friend of ours, Zach Myers. And I was like, I read the comment and I was like, Zach, you're being way too smart and elegant for thoughtful. This page. Yes, too thoughtful. But Zach's comment was something like, you know, he was like, hey, it happens all the time. Like, people who are best friends for years and years, something dumb happens. They like, all kinds of things happen in the world and in people's lives, and people grow apart. And it's like, it's literally what happens. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's easily believable to me. He's like, you've only seen two movies of these people's lives together. And sure, they're good friends for the 2 weeks or so we've known them.
Right.
People live, you know, they're years and years and years. You've only seen a couple weeks. Sure. So it's completely believable. And it made me think about the Bill Murray and Harold Ramis thing, because I was like, I don't think they're, like, you know, writing that plot point on something that really happened, but it's like, God, they kind of, I mean, I'm sure they didn't do that. I'm sure Jason wasn't writing Afterlife being like, oh, well, Egon and Ray have a falling out, just like,
right,
you know, Harold and Bill did. But it is the same thing. It's like, that's right. What happened, you know, like it happens, and you make amends later on. And
right. Yeah.
And I wasn't trying to, like, pull us off into another direction.
No, it's a great,
that thought happened today. And it's
it's a great thought, because I mean, I think it's hard to not think about. I think that's why it's cool to see Bill showing up at a Harold Ramis event with Harold's wife there. Like, forgiveness is a tough thing. And whatever happened between them was Harold always would publicly say he really wasn't sure, you know, what the straw that broke the camel's back kind of thing was.
Yeah.
But they did. I mean, I think there's a story in Violet Ramis Steele's book where she says, uncharacteristically, at one point on the Groundhog Day filming, Harold, like, pinned Bill against, grabbed him by the collar and pinned him against a wall. Yeah. Which,
well,
also
that
happens
was
in Stripes.
Well, I think,
well, just I think put that out there.
I think Bill Murray was going through a divorce in that movie. What wasn't he going through, like,
yeah, he was. He
I think tough, during, yeah, Groundhog Day there was something.
Mm-hmm. There was something.
He was, but having, Abby, a lot of issues that I think he was maybe stuff, taking, right, out on other people.
Hey, I've thought of this a couple times recently where you'll see somebody pop up on social media, on Facebook, like, there's people that I was very good friends with 10 or 15 years ago, yeah, hung out with, who, like, I'm not trying to disparage anybody from, like, different parts of my life, but there's people, like, I don't really remember that well, even though they were a big part of my life at one point. You grow and you move on, and life is kind of it takes a long time to get through it. So when you think about somebody you had a good relationship with at 10 or 15 years ago, it just, people move on.
Yeah.
Abby, any additional thoughts on that?
Well, I think the resolution is the key factor, like the fact that after his passing, people who loved him came together to create more of something he was a part of creating. And I think that Afterlife is the beautiful, like, result, like the baby, so to speak, of some reconciliation, which, yeah, that's close to heart, hits close to home. We're all three creative people. We have our differences. And it, at the end of the day, we like to laugh, the three of us, and I think we're really good at making each other laugh. I think that that group from SNL, like that, the group of guys, and Annie Potts too, and it's just like there was something really special and a real actual chemistry and bond between them, and that's something that inspires me to keep podcasting and sitting down, even though sometimes I'm kicking and screaming. It's really special. Yeah. That's what I think.
That's good.
Yeah.
Those are good thoughts. Well, listen, we are going to get to the fuck budget, but I would be remiss to not, if we're going to finish off the Bill Murray conversation. Ernie McCracken in Kingpin is one of the great characters of all time. It is, it's the most like...
You're on a biscuit train with gravy wheels.
Wait. Other way around.
A gravy train with biscuit wheels.
I like them both.
I do.
I
flip-flop.
Bill Murray's got different modes. There's the really... Yeah. There's like sarcastic but sweet Bill Murray. There's the completely like goofy, over the top Bill Murray. The Kingpin Bill Murray is like, oh, he's just an asshole. He is a funny asshole in that movie.
Yeah, that's probably closer to his real life.
Right.
And then there's the larger than life Bill Murray, which is, we don't need to watch that.
It's too big. It's just larger than life.
It's just
now. Which movie does he? I can't remember which movie it is where he puts Seth Green in the trash can. Oh my
God. It's the same movie where he tackled Jay Farrow and threw that other guy's phone off the window. Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, I've never met Bill Murray personally. We've all stood near him a couple times. He seemed great, so we're gonna go with that.
He's in a good mood.
He was great.
Mm-hmm. He was. Yeah.
I think he's a misunderstood genius. There, and we're going to talk more about him a little bit later,
and every episode until we don't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What do you mean? This is forever, man. We made a blood pact.
Yeah.
Well, I meant until I don't know.
Yeah. Until death do us part.
Until yeah.
Okay. Hey. Speaking of Ray and Egon, I just wanted to do a fun transition.
What are you doing?
I'm just holding toys. Hey, listen. We're going to get to the fuck budget, but we have to do a little bit of a word from our sponsors, which is us and Patreon. So listen up.
Go.
Oh, Jacob.
Yes, Craig.
You know how you always say we're doing too much and we need to scale back?
I absolutely do.
Well, it's not going to happen. In fact, we're going to do more.
Oh, my God.
But that's okay, because what I'm talking about right now is the YHS Patreon community, where you can unlock over 5 years of bonus audio content. Now, that sounds pretty good, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's enough.
Every month, if you are part of the YHS Patreon, which you can sign up for at patreon.com/yeshavesome, for as little as $5 a month, you can be part of the YHS Discord, which is exclusive to Patreon. And we do bonus audio episodes every month. And Jacob, we got a new Ghostbusters movie this year.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about. There's things that we really can't always talk about on the main feed, but we like to give a little behind the scenes insight to our Patreon folks.
Sure. It's a really fun community over there, and it's really fun to throw some teases in there, some early videos or content that might not make its way on the main feed. There's also an Instagram. I don't even know if you mentioned the Instagram. There's a
Patreon Instagram.
Exclusive Instagram. It's just like I said, we're really doing a lot. And honestly, YHS is our favorite thing. It's what we all want to be doing full time. And Patreon is really what helps us out the most.
Absolutely. So like I said, patreon.com/yeshavesome. For as little as $5 a month, you can get access. And there are a couple different tiers, including the top tier, which is a merch tier, where 4 times a year you get an exclusive piece of YHS merch. And right now we're working on the one that's going to launch spring, summer. And I don't want to sell you guys on it too hard, but it's going to be good. You're going to be upset if you don't have this. So thank you for the continued support of YHS over the last 8 years. And if you want to give a little bit and it goes directly to us and supports all this madness that we participate in, it's patreon.com/yeshavesome. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's time for our first fuck budget of the year. I feel like, Abby, this is one of our older segments, right? We started this in what? 2017. It wasn't too long after we started the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was an idea that I hatched after listening to a TED talk about how many fucks like you can allocate to things in life, and so I had that idea to apply to what we're doing and to make it like a real budget. Like there's only 10 fucks to give for 5 subjects, and that's the beginning.
Absolutely. All right. So what we do is we take 5 subjects. We each, well, I don't really participate, but I provide the subjects. 10 fucks to spend each. You got to allocate your budget. There's no credit cards, no banks, no loans, no title max.
It's really easy to go bankrupt.
It's easy to go bankrupt, depending on the topics. So I've come...
No Affirm,
no Klarnas. I've got five topics ready to roll, and you've each allocated your fucks, and we're gonna have some fun here. So, okay, who wants to start us off? That's the first question I'll ask.
Abby, you can go.
Okay. I mean, you start us off, Craig, by introducing the topic.
I'm going to introduce the topic. All right. So coming up first, this news broke last week. Bringing it up. Boom. There is a new Jurassic World movie in the works from franchise original screenwriter David Koepp. Little light on details other than production is well underway or pre-production. They're aiming for a 2025 release. This is said to be moving away from the you know, Jurassic World trilogy, Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, things like that, and being focused more on kind of a fresh start, a soft reboot. Abigail, when it comes to a new Jurassic World movie moving forward, how many fucks do you give?
I gave this two obligatory fucks that Jurassic Park just earns as, you know, being Jurassic Park. I'm a huge fan of the franchise. The original movie meant a lot to me. And I think when it comes to this, it's like I had to give the two fucks. It's like, you know, you just have to, you have to do that. There's not much information, but I kind of like the fact that there isn't much information that's breaking off from the legacy and that it could be something new. And in that way, it could be something really great. But because I have no information, I won't give it any more than the two that I gave it. I always want more from Jurassic Park. Like that, I always want there to be an upcoming dinosaur epic movie where there's dinosaurs attacking people and people fighting back and chaos and life lessons and good characters. Like I want more of that. So I have two fucks invested into this.
By the way, David Koepp, if you ever look at his filmography, he's written some movies. Jacob Walsh, Jurassic World, reboot, refresh.
I also gave it two fucks because, like Abby just said, I don't care what it is or how it is. I'm going to always have excitement for a Jurassic Park movie. The fact that they're saying they're going to kind of, it does, like Jurassic World is not that old. You know, the third one, I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
No.
There's been Jurassic World series on Netflix pretty recently. There's also a new series coming out soon. There's a trailer for it. So, like, they're still very much into, like, doing stuff with that franchise. So it's a little confusing that they're like, hey, we're going to do another movie. That makes me think it really is going to be something new and different and maybe in a different direction. And maybe this is going to be... It's like when Jurassic World came out, I kind of thought like it would have been kind of like Afterlife, right? Where it's like, you know, it's in the same world as the original. We're going to have crossover with maybe some characters, but it will still feel like Afterlife to me still feels like Ghostbusters and a Ghostbusters movie. Jurassic World feels like a completely different thing than Jurassic Park, to the point that in the third one, whenever you got all the original people back, it felt super weird because I was right. Like, these don't feel like the same characters. So that makes me feel good about it. What makes me feel weird about it is that it's still being called Jurassic World. Why wouldn't they go back to Park? And I mean, maybe they will, and this is just too early to tell. It makes no sense to me to keep calling it Jurassic World if they're going to kind of try to switch up, you know, the feel and all. It's too early to tell. Like Abby, you just said, it's too early. But I'm here for more Jurassic Park movies in any day. So I just gave it two for now because it's an excitement, but it's like a low bubbling. Right.
Low buzz. Dominion just came out in 2022. Saw it once. Don't know if I'll ever watch it again. Just I do like the first Jurassic World. I think the Chris Pratt, the first one with Bryce Dallas Howard, there's enough there to keep me interested. Abby, not to put you on the spot, what would you want to see from the franchise? Do you go bigger, go smaller, go backwards,
go smaller? Please back away from big scale. I don't want to see
go bigger.
Yeah, like let's not see velociraptors in Italy on expensive motorcycles or whatever was going on.
Well, if they're riding the expensive motorcycles, then okay.
Then that's kind of cool. Yeah, are we getting sentient dinosaurs? Like that would be the going bigger.
direction. Oh, so you're thinking right. Maybe the Alan Velociraptor from Jurassic Park 3 was a flash forward.
I'm Alan.
Lost. Yeah.
My name is Alan. He has the memories of Alan Grant. So he thinks it's like he's digging up dinosaur fossils and someone has to be like, I have to tell you something.
Yeah, he's in love with
you. You're a Velociraptor. And he's like, no.
He looks at the bear and he's like,
I'm Alan.
More like a 6-foot turkey. okay. Yeah, I say like, I want to see something new and different. Maybe something smaller scale, a little bit more.
Give me something small and quiet where, like, why not have a kid discovering a dinosaur egg in like an ET style? Like something.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Something like that. Like a very quiet, tiny, small scale story in a small town where someone, unearths an egg and has to, like, go through the.
I'm just trying to figure out at what point do you realize you're describing Ghostbusters after?
I was about to say there's a there's an egg in the floorboards.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Or I was going to say,
I didn't realize my grandfather was a T-Rex.
There's the Velociraptor's been living in the base in the attic the whole time in a pile of Cheetos.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they've got like pictures of you from their entire life. That's the other movie.
I've said it before on the show. I'll say it again because it's been a while for anybody who hasn't been listening. I think the best way to go forward with the Jurassic Park movie is to just basically rip off the movie Baby Secret of the Lost Legend. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be so, there's so many ways, like the plot of this sounds like a Steven Spielberg movie. You know what I mean? And it, basically what the plot would be was that there's, there's three dinosaurs left in the world. Jurassic Park has happened. It's dwindled. There's not any. It's in the, you know, it's been years and years. All the dinosaurs are dead. But there is a family of like apatosaurs or brachiosaurs, some sort of, long neck dinosaur. They have a baby and people want to get that. They're like, it's the last one. We need it. And somehow it comes down to like Alan Grant and Ellie Sattler, and they are basically on the run with this baby long-necked dinosaur trying to save its life and get it back to its mother before the villains can get like that. It's such a simple plot.
Yeah.
But can you imagine just those two with a baby dinosaur? Dude, and it would be an action. They would be, you know, but your villains wouldn't be velociraptors and a tyrannosaur. It would be humans.
Man.
But yeah, it just, to me, that would be a perfect way to do it.
I mean, I think the thing that would be the biggest win for me is like tap back into the emotion of Jurassic Park. It really lost that as the movies went. But okay, well, we'll have more from that as soon as we know more. Obviously, we're going to cover Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, or Jurassic Universe, or whatever they call it next. Jurassic Moon.
Dinosaurs on the moon.
Mr. President.
It's jumping up. Yeah.
We found dinosaurs on the moon.
What kind? Zero gravity kind. I don't know.
You telling me these things can.
These ones have zero gravity.
They fly now. All right. So stupid. So stupid.
They fly now.
All right, next up, Jacob, you're going to start us off on this one. We have our first official poster. Let me get the right thing up here. Beetlejuice, the sequel, the official title. I saw some, I think the title is Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. There was a couple people saying that it's Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, 2024 AD.
No, that's the date. It's coming out in 2024
AD. Right. So it's Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. We have our first poster. Trailer should be coming soon. Nobody here. It was surprising when we did our most look forward to movies of the year. Beetlejuice was a little bit like, we'll see.
Yeah.
But anyways, how many fucks do you give about this poster?
I gave it one. I gave it one fuck. Listen.
I'm listening.
I am really, really trying to keep my excitement for this thing down, just because like I think the first Beetlejuice is a perfect movie. I've said that before. It's perfect. There's nothing I would change in the original Beetlejuice. Maybe take the child molester out of it, but other than that, it's a great film.
Oh yeah, let's get rid of that guy and quit booking the conventions. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, what is happening?
Jeffrey Jones.
Lydia's dad.
Oh.
The principal from Ferris Bueller.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that guy. Yeah, no, fuck that guy.
But, you know, other than that, it's great. And I'm so nervous about this one. And I am excited. Like, I don't want the one fuck to sound like I don't want to see this movie. I really do, and I'll be there the first day. I can't wait to see a trailer and see what this is. But I don't know how much trust I have in Tim Burton anymore. He hasn't made a good movie in a very long time.
Yeah.
And I do believe in Michael Keaton, and I think he'd probably be good. I think his real life self is probably closer to Beetlejuice than we know. So he's probably not doing a ton of acting. But it just feels weird. Tim Burton, like, I just don't trust his judgment anymore. I wonder if this movie's just going to be all Beetlejuice. The Maitlands aren't in it for some reason, or at least if they are, they've kept it a complete secret, which seems impossible in this age of movie making.
Mm-hmm. That's Gina Davis, not Baldwin.
I just have a lot of concerns and questions. So I am trying to. Also, this is a like really lazy Photoshop.
The poster, yeah.
Yeah, but it is like I'm excited, but I'm just trying to be chill about it because I want to be very pleasantly surprised and not disappointed.
It's hard though. Well, Abby, you give your thoughts first and then I'll tell you why it's hard.
Sure. I would say in my approach to this and like trying to remain chill, I gave this zero fucks. Not because I don't have interest in Beetlejuice and don't love the performance and don't love Winona Ryder and like the world that Beetlejuice exists in. I think that world is so unique and so perfect the way it is encapsulated in that movie that I don't see messing around with it and like dusting it off and trying the old outfit on. Like, I don't know if that's going to really feel right. I feel like it's a bit of a lightning in the bottle situation where there was a really great time in Michael Keaton's career. And it's like, I just don't know if it's still there. And because I've seen botched reboots before, I'm like a little bit worried that or a sequel, whatever. Like
You're talking about Bill and Ted.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just, we'll see. Is it going to be half-assed money grab deal or will there be some real art? That would be really neat. I got to see some images and costume designs and like performances before.
The original Beetlejuice is so funny in such a like it seems like they're never trying to be funny. They just are. It is like so naturally, like it's so well written and every weird, all the actors in that movie, you know, Tim Burton's thing is that he likes weird. So it's like he gets all the most offbeat actors to play the most offbeat characters. And you know, it's like Beetlejuice is in that movie for like 6 minutes or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, is this movie just going to be all Beetlejuice all the time? I don't understand exactly what, I mean, but also, we have no info. We have no synopsis. We have no trailer. There's not a ton we can say about it.
But like you said, without the Maitlands, like, because they are the characters that the audience can relate to of like, oh, they're outsiders. I kind of feel like an outsider. Right. Like you see them moving in the house and getting pressure from the community people. And it's just like, no, we just want to be here and do our own little like project in the attic and like have our fun little hobby and just be ourselves, which is very relatable.
Yeah. It's, one of the biggest things that's weird to me about this movie is like the first movie, it is about the Maitlands. Like it's their movie. The whole story is about the Maitlands. So to have the sequel be like, hey, you know what? Fuck the main characters of the last movie. We're going to focus on the character who's in the movie the least amount of time is weird to me. And also, you know, they said in the first Beetlejuice that the Maitlands have to live in that house for 190 years before they could cross over. And we know the movie still takes place in that house.
Right.
So why aren't they there? Like, where would they be?
I can't wait to find out. I will say this.
I think we'll have answers to all this, but
yeah.
Here's my thing.
Timeline wise, is it
Jenna Ortega cast as Winona Ryder's daughter? Pretty on the nose. I think we all went, yeah, of course. Like, let's. I have no issues with Jenna Ortega. I think she's had some moves I really liked. We'll see, right? Like, Winona Ryder in Beetlejuice is iconic, and we love her. And I think Warner Brothers is probably pretty high on this movie. No delays, no reshoots. And they just announced that they're bringing Tim Burton back to remake Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, which is kind of crazy. He's co-writing it with Gone Girl scribe Gillian Flynn. But again, until we start seeing
I hope he's coming back. I hope, like, classic Tim Burton is.
I mean, you got to remember, Beetlejuice, the first one, that was like his second movie. He made Pee-wee's Big Adventure, then Beetlejuice. He was at the top of his creative output. He was young. Yeah. And, but Catherine O'Hara's back, and it's going to be. Hey, we're all going to be there night one.
100%.
No matter what.
100%. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I mean, that comes out September the 6th. When's DragonCon?
I think it comes out the week after DragonCon.
Okay.
Beetlejuice Fever. Okay, let's
all be Beetlejuice for DragonCon, because that's not a costume that so many people already do.
There was a lot of Beetlejuices last year.
There's a lot.
Randomly. All right, next up, Quentin Tarantino's final movie, reuniting with Brad Pitt, who obviously they've collaborated before on Inglourious Basterds and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Abigail, general thoughts. Are you excited about what Tarantino's going to do with, what's it called? The Critic? Is that what it's called?
The Movie Critic.
The Movie Critic. Again, short on details. There's some rumors about the plot, but
what short do you on think? Details, but enough information for me to give it 3 fucks. I love Quentin Tarantino movies, and I really love Brad Pitt as Muse for Quentin. And I think that this movie being set in the 1977 as like a critic for sleazy movies, like that just sounds like a lot of good stuff that I'm interested in. And another addition to the Quentin Tarantino like wall or stack, that's just an exciting thing. It's something that we can all come together and talk about and pick apart. And I've just, the characters that Quentin Tarantino designs and like the swagger and like iconicness of the stuff that he writes, I'm excited, because it's the best stuff out there, and you want him to keep going. Well, you know, and so I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Jacob.
A little different approach. I agree with all that, but I just gave it 1, just because, I don't know. Like, he always uses people from his last movie. Like, it's not a surprise, or like hearing that Brad Pitt's going to be, I'm like, okay, yeah, of course he is. You know, it's like, to me that's not shocking or, you know, really worthy of too much thought. It's just like, cool, yeah, he's going to be in it. I think Quentin Tarantino makes all of the best movies in existence. Like, every movie he makes is like the best movie of that year. Some are the best movie, I think, of the decade. You know, like, he makes really some of the best stuff possible. And even though I loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I do have to say, I think Quentin Tarantino is at his best when he's writing really tense stuff that leads up to cartoonish violence.
Right.
Like, that is the best. Django, Hateful Eight, Inglourious Bastards, Kill Bill, Pulp Fiction. Like, those are his best movies.
You know, we were watching The Godfather recently, the original, and spoiler alert, well, I won't give it away, but there's a scene where one of the characters gets shot at a toll booth. Mm-hmm. And I had obviously, Quentin Tarantino has talked very highly of The Godfather, but it is so clearly an inspiration to him, because it's so over the top to see like 20 guys with machine guns just taking down one guy.
Yeah.
He gets shot 300 times and he's just like, like,
is this enough?
More.
Yeah, we want more.
I really like Brad Pitt. Like, I feel like Brad Pitt could fit into that everybody likes Brad Pitt. So it's like when everybody really likes a certain actor, you kind of have to go, wait a minute. If the masses gravitate to this guy. But I think he's made really interesting choices. And like, he's not just like he's legitimately a great actor. And Inglourious Basterds is like unreal. So I'm excited, man. I don't want Quentin Tarantino to stop making movies. It'd be really sad if like, you know, halfway through my life, Quentin Tarantino decided he didn't want to make movies anymore. So hopefully he keeps going.
Well, I think that's what's happening. To me, the only thing I can't be, it's like, I can't be picky because I feel like everything Quentin Tarantino gives us is like a gift. You know what I mean? But it's like, if he's got one movie left in him, personally, I'd much rather that movie be an Inglourious Bastards and not a Jackie Brown,
like a historical type.
Well, just something where there's fucking crazy shit, and you're like, "What is gonna happen?" And just like, "Oh, cool, it's just two dudes talking for 3 hours." Like,
yeah,
that's. I know it's gonna be great. I know it's gonna be great either way, but it's like I want it to be Django.
Apparently, he has a series. He's going to do something for TV. I think that's going to be his loophole.
Do you think so? He'll maybe chill on movies and then do.
He said there's
no way he doesn't make another movie in 10 years, right? He's just going to be sitting around one day. He's going to be like, he's going to make it.
He's just going to do that.
That's what he does.
That's what he does. Very cool. All right. Well, let's keep it going here. Almost done with the fuck budget. So much fun so far. Okay. This one, back to Bill Murray. I told you we'd come back to him. Last week in Austin, Texas, part of Project Venkman, which is some sort of NFT thing. I don't understand it. I'm not going to pretend like I do. But they did this private event, Western themed, with Bill Murray. They're going to do more of these events. They're expensive to go to. It's like $500 or $600. When it comes to Bill Murray doing private events for NFTs, the question I have for you for this fuck budget is, are we going to go to the next one? Like, is this something we want to get into as we scroll through some of these photographs? Whose turn is it first? Abigail?
Sure. Yeah, I gave this one fuck because I love Bill Murray, and obviously this would be awesome. Maybe it's like, I don't know, precious of me, but I would prefer to be observing Bill Murray in like a natural environment where he's not like maybe the center spectacle.
Sure.
I feel like that's a lot of weird pressure, and I'd rather have like an organic Bill Murray moment if that's possible. I'll hold out and wait for that. I don't know, maybe this is a bunch of fun and I would go. I feel like I want it to be like, I want to earn it.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to pay for it.
Some of the events, they did some bowling, some, you know, mechanical bull riding. There was a Bill Murray costume contest. Some props here. And then, Jake, before I go to you, as I was scrolling through these, I had a really good, I don't know if you guys looked through all these photos.
I didn't see any of these, no. I'd be farting. What is that?
It was like a photo.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
The writer says, there were also signs all over that explained a funny story about Bill. And then this one says, important note, Camry is circulating this fake image that she made. My sign did not say this, and I was not farting at the event.
That's so funny.
I mean, it's an outdoor event.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he could fart.
So there was some merch, but as I was scrolling through, I had a really good laugh.
Okay.
A couple more. One, two. There it is. Another angle.
He's got two pictures.
Dude, that's hey. What I didn't scroll all the way down because I was like, wait, who wrote this article? Is it someone that we know?
It's Tom Henry from the Containment Unit. He did not write this article. The Chive wrote it, but a photo of the photo, which is always fun. Yeah. And it is a good
picture. That's a better picture than the one he took.
Yeah, yeah. So that was really special for Tom to finally have his amazing Bill Murray experience. So Abby, you gave one fuck. Jacob, how many fucks to the Bill Murray event here?
Listen, I love Bill Murray, and yeah, I would go to this if we wanted to go, but I gave it one fuck because it feels weird and fake. It's such a weird, like a celebration for NFTs. Let's make sure Bill Murray has to be in a good mood by making sure everybody pays $500 to be there and put him in dumb hats and parade him around on a horse and he's got to take a picture with everybody. No, it's so weird and fake. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But we're going.
But I'd go.
Yeah, but I'd be there 100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, but I agree with Abby. Listen, I'm going to go ahead and say this. We've been around Bill Murray 5 times in our life so far. And yeah. I'm really thankful for that because that's not something that a lot of people get to do and say. And even though we still can't talk about all of it, we have been able to be in a really cool place and see Bill Murray do some really cool stuff. And even though we didn't have like a one-on-one jam with him, we were in a very intimate location with, you know, some special things happening. And that is something that not a lot of people get. So saying that versus you pay $500 to have a fake interaction with Bill Murray and get an NFT, I want what we did.
Yep.
Also, I got no doubts we're gonna be around Bill Murray again. Like, we're gonna see that guy.
That's
around.
What I'm saying.
I want a picture. Yeah. I would pay. I want a photograph with Bill Murray.
I do too. I do too. And I would pay. But
I want to speak. I don't want to speak for Tom. I do want to speak for Tom, our good friend Tom. He was a little bit on the fence for a lot of those reasons because it's like, but he's been, you know, Tom's a hardcore autograph collector. He's been chasing a positive Bill Murray interaction his whole life. And he got one, and I'm super stoked.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. If it's like you do it however you have to, and more power to you for doing that, for making the interaction happen.
Sure.
I'm jealous of the photo, Matt. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want a picture.
Tom, sorry. Damn it. Timestamp.
No, it's fine. They know.
I do want a photo of Bill Murray. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Oh.
To go with the autograph I got hanging on the wall.
Let's
get one more of these.
Last number of the fuck budget, and it's not about Vince McMahon or anything crazy. We're gonna keep tonight very.
Oh, let's do a whole Vince McMahon. I still want to do that episode where we just read the whole Vince McMahon. I
shit talk.
I'll read.
I know it's an intentional joke. Okay. Oh, hey guys, I know.
All right. Okay, here's the deal. Here we go. The music's playing. Sorry. Okay, here it is. Epic Universe is coming. The new park, Orlando, Florida, Universal Studios. We've known about this. The rumors have been going for a long time, but they made the official announcement with this really cool video. What?
Well, it's just like there's been rumors. They've been building the park out in the open for 4 years.
There's been some
not
rumors.
A rumor.
There's been a
it's
rumor.
Not Disney.
There's been some rumors. They were doing something over there. Epic Universe, the trailer is here, the reveal. There's going to be 5 different immersive lands, including Mario Brothers, or Super Nintendo Land, I'm sorry. Dark Universe, another Harry Potter world.
How to Train Your Dragon.
How to Train Your Dragon, and then, what is it, Celestial Park?
Celestial Park.
Which is kind of just its own thing. Jacob Walsh.
Yeah.
Epic Universe. How many fucks?
Yeah, I gave this all my remaining fucks. I gave it 5 fucks because, listen, we love Universal Studios. We go there often. It is a great park. I have so many good memories at Universal Studios. We just love theme parks in general. And I think sometimes we take it for granted because like we get to go so often and sometimes it feels like, oh, well, what are we doing? Going to Disney? but this place looks great. It's cool to have a new Universal park. And now even though I'm only really, so like I'm super into the Nintendo world. It looks really fun and amazing. And then, you know, the Dark Universe, the Universal Monster stuff. I'm really excited for whatever is going to be in there. I don't care about how to Train Your Dragon, and I don't care about Harry Potter, but I don't care about Harry Potter, but the Harry Potter stuff at the other park's awesome. And we always have a lot of fun. Craig, your favorite ride is one of the Harry Potter rides. So
it is.
So even
Green
though
Guts?
Yeah. So even though I don't have any like big feelings for those two parts, I have no doubt that there's going to be stuff in both of those areas that we end up loving, you know what I mean? So, so I'm into this, a new theme park. They also, Steven Spielberg pops up in this 7-minute video and it made me tear up just seeing like Steven popped up and I went, oh, Steven, you know, like I like seeing all this old stuff.
It also feels like it's going to be fun. it's going to be coaster centric. There's like a Wolfman roller coaster.
Yeah.
Some really cool stuff. Abigail.
Yeah.
Epic Universe.
Yeah. I gave this all of my remaining fucks. I gave this 4 fucks. I thought this was a great video package. The words visceral and fully immersive were mentioned many times. And I find that to be what I'm seeking when it comes to theme parks. Obviously, Galaxy's Edge is like one of the first fully immersive, like the way that it's structured and staggered and such. So I think they're trying to do some of that like perspective flip thing with this park.
It's what the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids area thought it was 30 years ago. Yeah. Hey, yeah. You want to, real quick, not to interrupt you, maybe the most disappointed I've ever been in my life was the first time I went to the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids park, because the way it looked on the commercials was like, I was like,
yeah,
dude, I was bummed when they got, I was bummed when they got rid of it though. Cause I,
because it's fun. It's fun.
Auntie. Yeah.
I loved Auntie. The immersive experience. You were watching the Japan Universal Studios videos of Super Nintendo World.
Yeah.
And it feels like they're going to replicate that in Orlando. And that's exciting.
That's the most exciting thing to me. That's a world and a brand franchise that I recognize and love and would love to see like full scale around me. And then, yeah, watching the Universal Japan videos, like the Mario Cafe looks amazing. The options for like mushroom themed foods and like peach themed cakes and such. It's cool. It's cool. And there's new stuff. There's new drink containers that look like the question mark boxes. And like, there's a lot of there's a lot to explore. And it's just something that I haven't seen in a theme park. And it's just something I love. I love Mario Kart and I love Mario, Super Mario. Grew up with wanting to play Nintendo. And I think that's the most exciting thing, because there will be a nostalgic connection and it will be a new nostalgic connection. I don't really care about How to Train Your Dragon either. Hogwarts or Harry Potter stuff is whatever. But I am excited just to have a whole new thing to explore, because I think that Universal does need a little bit of an update, little paint job and like brighten things up a little bit would be nice. Yeah. And then, hey, Horror Nights will be even bigger.
Ooh. Oh, I wonder. That makes me wonder if they would do Horror Nights stuff at that park. Because they're not walking distance. It's not like you can leave one.
Oh, yeah.
So the new park, I read that it's... in the video, they say that it will just about double the overall size of Universal Studios, which means this park is about the size of Universal and Island Ventures together. Combined, so it's about the same size as what we already have. So,
okay.
I want to chime in on this. Excited about Dark Universe. I love that they're taking the failed name of the franchise that Tom Cruise could not get started and just bringing it over to a theme park. Pretty cool. Love Universal Monsters. Seems like it's gonna be like updated versions of all the classics. But
maybe they'll bring Beetlejuice back during there's so many things they can do with that. Like the fact that it's gonna be a whole section of the park that is Universal Monsters themed.
That's pretty.
There's
cool.
A lot that can be done there. So,
Harry Potter. I was just reading about it. So Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Ministry of Magic. Guests are set to uncover a unique chapter of the Wizarding Universe in an entirely novel environment fusing 1920s Wizarding Paris, featured in Fantastic Beasts, with the iconic British Ministry of Magic from Harry Potter. Again, it'll be cool, it'll be fun, it'll be immersive. How to Train Your Dragon, don't care, but I'm sure a lot of people do, right, kids?
I was surprised, because I know a lot of people do like it, but I was surprised. I didn't realize it was popular enough in 2024/2025 to make it a whole section of a new Universal park.
Right.
That seems like a bit much to me, but I don't, but yeah, I don't know.
I've said it before. My idea, one of the worlds should be classic Universal. It should feel like 1991 when you walk in, and there could be, you don't have to do all the rides. Like I thought it'd be cool to do something called Universal Studios The Ride, which is a tram ride that takes you through little pieces of all the classic rides. But hey, they don't call me for the good ideas. I just put them on for free on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I like the idea you walk in and like, it's like the food's weird. Like
they're all wearing old uniforms.
And yeah, it would be cool. The characters in the parks are like families with old video cameras. Like those are like you get photo ops with them.
You're not allowed to have a cell phone. You didn't have to. They take your cell phone, but they give you a disposable camera.
Yep. That's what I want.
Now, yeah, that I can get behind.
Like Woody Woodpecker's there for some reason. but it's gonna be fun. New Universal Park, love that. Jacob, you were like, hey, we got to get there as quickly as possible, but let's try to get on that guest list.
Yeah, because it's going to be super packed. Yeah. I mean, it opens in 2025.
They'll probably have caps on.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's actually opening fairly soon. I was expecting them to be like 3 years from now, it's going to be open because it seems like a lot of work. But they're opening next year. That's if the lawyers don't get us first.
nice.
I don't know. I want to go soon. It was the same with like Galaxy's Edge. You know, it was like, oh, when are we going to get to go to Galaxy's Edge without it being?
Now it's old news. Now it's passé. Mm-hmm. You don't even need a reservation for the cantina anymore. You just walk on in. The hotel has came and went.
The hotel's canceled.
Yeah, the Star Cruiser that everybody was
abandoned now. Hey, there's already a defunct land episode.
Shit.
I don't know if there is, but
I'm gonna get on there. Yeah, I love it.
Today we're going to be talking about the rise and fall of the Starship Cruiser, one of the most epic fails and most modern fails in theme park history. I should work for that channel.
I think Kevin Perger is doing a good job.
Videopolis. Okay. Whew. Good fuck budget. We've covered a lot of ground. Hog Day material. That was awesome.
Hog Day?
Groundhog Day. I said we've covered a lot of Groundhog Day. Let's really dissect that.
Yeah, we get it.
Realize that's how you.
So my only question for you guys is, what's for dinner tonight? And then I just want some ideas, some ideation here. Any ideas?
I'm not sure. I think I'm going to Publix as soon as we get done here. I do have some soup, but I'm not sure I'm in a soup mood tonight. So
I'm always in a soup mood.
I think I'm either gonna go get a pizza or go to Publix or something.
Dude, I straight up will get I had some tomato soup the other day. I was letting them club crackers float right in there, I didn't even care.
Mm-hmm.
I put like five in there.
That's a meal.
Just let them disintegrate.
Mm-hmm.
Did he crumble any crackers? Mm-hmm. Abigail, any ideas?
I like Jacob's idea of going to Publix. We need groceries, so I say we do that.
It's gonna be cold out though. Okay. Well, I hope everybody has a great week. I hope you had a wonderful Groundhog Day, and stay tuned for more from us. We listen. We always used to say we got a lot of fun stuff coming up, and then we would follow that up with. Guys, we say that all the time, but we really do. But for real this time, we have a lot of fun stuff coming up.
We do.
Including Firehouse Fridays, the official Ghostbusters behind-the-scenes content from YHS Podcast and Sony Pictures, Ghost Corps, and whoever else was involved. Mostly just the people I just named. It was just us. But
Bill Murray,
Dan Aykroyd, Paul Rudd, Paul Reiser, the whole gang. It's going to be fun. I am super excited to finally release this content. Abby, we've been sitting on it for almost a year.
Yeah. And I've been hearing it a lot recently as you've been editing it. And it gets
me tired of it.
A little bit. You can only hear certain sound effects so many times. But I'm really excited to release that stuff. It's cool that we've been sitting on it and that it's now time to release it. It's a good thing.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire hitting theaters March 22nd, 2024. Everybody's been asking us when the world premiere is going to be. We don't know. We'll likely find out the day that you do, but our plans are to be there and to live it up. Celebrating Ghostbusters, because that's what we do. For Abigail Gardner, Jacob Walsh, my name is Craig Goldberg. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media channels at YHS Podcast, and stay tuned for some additional messaging after the show. Have a good day.
Bye. Bye, y'all. Love you.
Yes, have some.